Take it easy and solve the school lunch problem with Spam. S-P-A-M.
こんにちは、タイガークローラジオ。You are listening now, Pak J.
You are listening to Tiger Claw Radio. Number one in vintage computer and video game entertainment. And now your host, Critical Failure.
Listening to Tiger Claw Radio. This is episode 78. How are you doing, everybody? This is the first proper episode I've done in about 2 weeks. Last week, I just kind of dropped the ball, had a bunch of stuff going on, and couldn't quite get one out. And the week before that, we had Derek and Blockman for the entire hour. Now, this week is a big show. This is a big show. There's a lot of stuff to go over. The kind of drought of freeware games that I've been talking about lately, that is over with a vengeance. Got a lot of great freeware titles to talk about this week, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, don't forget to check out Glitched Out when you got some time. That's the new home of Tiger Claw Radio. We're brought to you by Glitched Out. Also brought to you by our sponsors, GamersGate.com. Anytime, anywhere, get yourself some good games at good prices. Also brought to you by Sync7PR, hosting provided by WastedSeconds.com. Alright, so let's go ahead and jump right into it. Got a really big list of stuff to go over, and we're going to be featuring the music of BitShifter. Again, are we doing BitShifter again? I think we did BitShifter already. I don't know, it doesn't matter. This is Critical Failure, you're listening to Tiger Claw Radio. We'll be right back. That was, in fact, Animal Style from their album Trench Vent. Good stuff. That's another one you can pick up for free at 8bitpeoples.com. Got a few minutes. Go ahead and grab it. It's a really good album. It's not new, though. It came out a while ago. You're going to have to dip into the catalog and go back a few pages. Good stuff, though. Very good stuff. All right, so what's new? First and foremost, the big thing that keeps coming up is Team Meat is back on the headlines again. After Super Meat Boy becoming such a smash hit, their next game is called The Binding of Isaacs, and it was announced as a roguelike. And since it's announced, the announcement, there's been some screenshots released, and it's all over their blog. They're saying it's supposed to be a cross between The Legend of Zelda and Smash TV. Neither one of those games are anything like a roguelike. I have seen the screenshots I've seen are like directly parodying Legend of Zelda, very much so. But it's that Team Meat sort of homage kind of thing. I mean, I didn't take it with a negative reaction, but you can easily tell where the source material is taken from. Don't really know, since there's been such a left turn since the announcement, not really sure what to think of the game yet. But there's definitely a lot of stuff you can check out. Art style is very familiar to anybody who's played Super Meat Boy. I'm willing to bet that when all is said and done, we're going to get a really good game. Speaking of Super Meat Boy, Terry Cavanaugh, the guy who made VVVVVV and a bunch of other games, made himself a Flash version of Super Meat Boy. Now, the story that ran on IndieGames.com said that this was from an art contest. They wanted him to contribute some artwork or something, and he just instead of just making a screenshot, proceeded to make a small working version of a browser game that's like Super Meat Boy. So it's Super Meat Boy, but it's done very much like VVVVVV. And it's a fun little game, and links will be provided. Check it out in the show notes, and go check out the Terry Cavanaugh version of Super Meat Boy. It's free, which is good. Also, moving right along, lots of free stuff. There was a game which hit the Indie Games blog called Oniken, which I just tried out before we went on the air. You guys who like NES games a lot are really going to love this. This is, think back to Ninja Sankey, if you've played that, and how that was so much reminiscent of Mega Man with a little bit of Ninja Gaiden thrown in, whatever. This is much more, I want to say like Ninja Gaiden, but not really so much. It plays more like that first level of Vice Project Doom. It's much more arcadey, much more, I guess arcadey would be the word. But it's very bloody. It's pretty cool. It's side-scrolling. You run along with your little sword, and you're swinging it around, and when you defeat enemies, you're slicing their heads off and blood is going everywhere. Very cool. Very cool game. It weighs in at about 21 megs and it's freeware. So check it out. My only complaint is that it didn't work with my joystick. So I'm going to have to dust off Joy to Key to get that to work. Which isn't too much of a problem. But it seems like developers are this Joy to Key program is making freeware developers lazy. Like the norm is no longer plug and play joystick or gamepad support now, because they know you can just get this program to bind keyboard keys and do it yourself. I understand that that's a very easy way to do it and a very universal way to do it, but I still like it when my gamepad and joystick or whatever just work. When they're hooked up, that's just how I like it. All right, so we talked about Terry Cavanaugh. That there was another game, released. This was a couple weeks ago. This was going to be announced on like two shows ago or something, but just never got around to it. It's called YYYYYY, which is an ASCII demake of his adventure game, his side-scrolling adventure game, VVVVVV. That game's already a Commodore 64 looking game, and they actually took it a step further and made it all ASCII graphics. I was really excited to play it, and I tried to download it just before, maybe like an hour before the show. and my antivirus was like, no, don't do that. So, yeah, it's there. You can look at the screenshot. I am going to link you to the, I'm going to link you to the forum where it's found, but, I wouldn't download the game. Yeah, it's such a it's on the Distractionware forums, and it was featured on the Indie Games blog. So I'm inclined to think that it's not malware, but they must have used some scripts that my antivirus is flagging. I've seen this before. It happened with Catpoke, the point and click game that I did a video review on. Back on RetroWare TV, that game Kaspersky was fingering it as malware when it wasn't at all. So that kind of thing does happen. But until I find out more on that, I would just kind of look but don't touch. But I mean, it's a great concept. After looking at the screenshots, it makes me want to just go back and play the original. All right, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4 free games that we've gone over already. Three, not counting the one just aforementioned. The final game, the fifth and final game, seems to be probably the best, or I don't want to say the best, but the one with the most spit polish, the one that's probably the biggest headline, and it's called Mumadora 2, and it's it was featured on TIGSource.com, listed as a cave story style freeware game. And they use the word Metroidvania, but that just means exploration with a gun. So wouldn't that mean just Metroid style? I mean, how does that have anything to do with Castlevania? That's what I hate about that phrase, Metroidvania. It's not Metroidvania unless you're exploring that way and you have a whip. Or possibly any kind of melee weapon. But, I mean, you guys have played Cave Story. It looks more or less the same as Cave Story. And there was actually a funny comment referring to that, to the post on TIGSource.com. I'm going to read it for you. This is from Ska Douche. And he writes, actually, what most people don't know is that Momodora means rip-off in Japan. And actually, the context is more like rape-off. So this game is basically called Rape-Off 2. 2 because it's a sequel, by contraction. Sorry, I can't find... Sorry, I find a culture gap a bit crazy, too. But basically, the game is called Rape Story 2. Or, depending on your background, it could be translated as Rape Cave. The cave that rapes stories. You're welcome. Interesting little comment. Not quite sure how to take it. But another guy commented, this is a Minecraft ripoff. But that's just all nonsense. The game looks awesome. It's a free game. Links are going to be provided. And there's also a link to the soundtrack you can download, which is really cool. I like it when games do that. So much that I get sort of a negative reaction when I find a game that has an indie game that has a soundtrack that you can download that they expect you to pay for. I can only think of a couple examples, Minecraft and VVVVVV. As a matter of fact, I think the VVVVVV soundtrack is like... more than the actual game now. But, you know, what are you going to do? Okay, so that's Mumadora 2. So let's go ahead and go over... This is becoming like a staple of the show now. What's going on with Minecraft and Terraria, the latest updates? There were a couple of posts on the Notch blog about the up-and-coming adventure update. One of them is a nice fancy drawing banner that reads the adventure update in big blocky letters. Exciting stuff if you're a Minecraft player. And this is coming straight from the blog now. He says, a few things that we've revealed so far, NPC villages, randomly generated dungeons, new biome code, fully working creative mode, and individual admins can enter the creative mode on a survival mode server if they choose. Critical hits, sprinting, and more farming options. That's all stuff we can expect to see in the adventure update, quote unquote adventure update. Now we don't know when that's coming, but we do know that they have said they're going to put this out before the full release of the game, and the full release is set for late September. So So maybe a couple months, maybe. That's my guess. So lots to look forward to. And see, we used to have a server going between me and Darabka, the Gaming Beast, and Jerry Terrifying, and Shintai, and all that other stuff. All them guys, and Kaiser. I miss them days, man. I miss them days, but that server was just so expensive. And most unfortunately, when we lapsed in payment, the server actually deleted our map. They gave us like X amount of time to drop some cash, and because normally when this happens, when you can't pay for a server anymore in Minecraft, you say okay, you log back in for the last time, and you download your map, and then you're good to go. And whenever you pay for a new server, you can re-upload that map and kind of continue on your game. That way, no matter where you're buying your server from, no matter what you're doing, you never lose that, you know, your work. That's how you can play for years, pretty much, and generate those giant cities, or however long the game's been around. So, yeah, so that was kind of a bummer, because we did a lot of work on that map, and I thought maybe we could, especially lately when with Darabka toying with making videos of gameplay, I thought maybe we could make some really good videos. But with this new update just around the corner, promising all these things, I'm thinking about getting back into it. I found a service which is offering a 4-slot server for just under $7 a month. It's like $6.71. And that's not bad. One of the big things that I'm looking for is mod support. And they're saying the new update's going to have mod support, and this server service, the people who are renting the servers, they support the bucket mods and they support H mods and all that stuff. So the only thing that's stopping me now is that the new update is just around the corner. So I would get the server, plug in the mods, and then the new update would be out, and then the whole thing would go to hell, and I'd have to start from scratch again. So that's what's stopping me now. The reason why I'm talking about this on the air, you guys out there, you Minecraft players, anybody interested in getting back into it? I've had some talks, but the thing I want to do different this time, a couple things I want to do different. First and foremost, monsters will never be turned off. This is a survival-only server I'm talking about here. Also, since the cost is so much lower, you got to throw in if you want to play. We're talking like $2 a month or less. So I don't want to hear it. You want to play, you got to pay. That's how it goes. But you know, I just have this feeling that when the adventure server hits, when the adventure update hits, it's gonna be the next big thing, and suddenly Minecraft will be back on top. Good game, I love it. Let's take a quick, much more brief look at its competitor, Terraria. Terraria's got a new update, 1.0.6, looming just overhead, and the developer wrote a great big article about some of the stuff it's got in store. Let's see. A couple of the things that the developer mentioned. Now, he didn't give us a bulleted list like Notch tends to do, but he said, first and foremost, the game is going to be 150% more difficult, for starters. And two, he said dungeons are going to have keys and locked doors. Kind of like, more like in an adventure game than you would expect in an exploration game, more like in a Diablo clone or something like that. Locked chests, where you got to find the correct corresponding key, bring them back to that chest. Things like that. The developer said you're probably going to want to start a new character and a new map when this update hits, which is, you know, I don't want to say I have a negative reaction, but it's like, really, again, I just started a new map, and it's already all different from everything else when I first played the game, and I don't know. I don't want to be too negative, because the game is evolving, and they said they did release it early so that they could do this sort of thing. Whatever. Take that as you will. Terraria is going to change big time again, and we don't know when, but it's not too far off. And that's all I can say about Terraria. Okay, let's see. Oh yeah, one more thing was that Steam had its sales this past week or so. It was the summer sale, and when Terraria's day came up, they put it at $2.50, and then like with no warning, they raised it back up to $5. Well, in this article, the developer addressed that. He said that they had never planned to sell it for $2.50. That was a mistake. It was all Steam's fault. And as soon as they found out, they did everything they could to change it back. So that's the reason why. So if you got it for $2.50, Sendu, then you got it for a price cheaper than they had meant to sell it at. Not your fault, and you certainly don't have to give the game back. But that's the reason why the price raised without any warning. They said, try not to have it leave a bad taste in your mouth, because these things happen, you know. People make mistakes. Terraria is still a really new game, so for it to go 75% off is a little bit more than against the grain. It's a little bit of a bad business move, I would say. I have nearly 80 hours in the game, and I paid full price for mine, and I'm ready to put in a bunch more. So if you're thinking about picking up Terraria, if you haven't picked it up yet, now might be a good time. With this new update just around the corner. So I hope to see you there. Now, as a matter of fact, these past couple Thursday nights, I've been playing games with some of the guys, and we have been playing some Terraria, as well as other things. But since that's the end of the list of what I have been able to scrape up in the in terms of the Indian freeware scene, why don't we go ahead and take another quick break, play another awesome Animal Styles track, and when we get back, we're going to do, yes, the On the Desk segment is making a comeback. We're going to do On the Desk, talk about some of the stuff I've been playing lately, and Kolteca. Kolteca lives again. Got a lot to talk about. So, once again, this is Animal Style, and you're listening to Tiger Claw Radio. We'll be right back. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Tiger Claw Radio. Good song. Love me some Animal Style. Now, once again, before we dive in, I want to remind you that it's Ubisoft Week over at Gamersgate, so check it out. They got some good games like Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon, Advanced Warfighter, Rainbow Six Vegas, Trackmania, United Forever. Good games on sale, so check it out. All right, let's go ahead and do the On the Desk segment. Yay, it's On the Desk! All right, now let me explain what this is and why we're doing it. Essentially what happened was I got turned down for a sponsorship long time ago, and the reason why is because I don't talk about console games very much. And it's a pretty it's a pretty valid complaint. So this was the dumbest idea I think I've ever had, and I came up with it to try and get some console games back into the show. I put some games on my desk, and just talk about what I happen to have here. It's the cheesiest thing I can think of. These aren't necessarily reviews. It's just a few musings of the games, perhaps where I got these copies, what I remember. Or I could do a mini review, whatever, you know. It's just talk. Game talk. That's the whole reason why you're here and why I'm here, isn't it? So here we go. Got three games. The first game I'm holding here. This is the That Game Has a Case edition. You know how some games have slip cases and some games don't? Because let's face it, most of us only have a select few amount of slip cases to go around all our loose cards. Well, these are games I've chosen which have slip cases. First and foremost, very appropriately, I have the Super Nintendo version of Doom here. And it's got a gorgeous bright red cartridge, which is one of the things I love about this game. It's that they went the extra mile and did that because it's Doom. It's a legendary game. And how appropriate when I'm making an effort to talk about more console games that I would talk about a PC game ported to a console in a spectacularly, I don't want to say inferior port, but it's an inferior port. Of a classic PC game. Now, I like the Super Nintendo version of this game, and part of the reason why I like it, this is something I say all the time whenever this game comes up. My first experiences with Doom was without a sound card, so we used the PC speaker. Doom had pretty good PC speaker support back in the day, and that was how I experienced the game first. And up until I played the Super Nintendo version, that was my first experience with some hardcore sound. Now, those of you who have played this know that is the one thing this game really shines at, is the Super Nintendo version has grainy graphics, you can't see very far, and all that, but the music and the sound in this port is, it's amazing. It's really good. Really, really good, even by today's standards. So that was a big jump to go from PC speaker to this version of the game, which I think was really cool. And I find it appropriate to be talking about Doom now, since lately, thanks to Seb, the Half-Blind Gamer, one of my fellow Glitched Out members, we've been playing some Skull Tag online. I'm really enjoying it, because Seb is working out running his own server, so we don't have to worry about random people jumping in like we have in the past. And we played some... We played some Doom 2, working through the Doom 2 scenario, which was pretty cool. The downside was, the way he had it set up, we were losing all our weapons when we would go to the next stage. So we had to share whatever we could find, which ultimately ended up with us trying to punch out a room full of, you know, Hell Knights or whatever kind of monsters we came across. And, we did that for a while and gave it up, and we played a couple times since then. So all of you veterans of the old Doom Knight event, I encourage you to get your skull tags dusted off. They haven't updated it since November 2010, so if you played the last Doom Knight, chances are your skull tag still works. So dust it off and come play with us. Get over to the glitchedout.com forums, which is the place where we organize these things. We've been playing games. We're trying to get the Thursday night game going again, at least until I can figure out how to get Dungeons & Dragons back online. So So yeah, so check that out. And I got two games left here on the desk segment. The next one is, we're going to go back to the NES here. Dragon Warrior. Yes, it's Dragon Warrior. I hate that. One thing I hate about Dragon Warrior is that every time this game gets brought up, every time, people say Dragon Quest. I understand that this is a port of Dragon Quest, all right? But Dragon Quest is the Japanese version, and I didn't get that. I actually own a copy of it, complete in box. But that's not the game I grew up with. That's not the game I played as a young kid. I didn't understand Dragon Quest until... I think my first introduction to the Dragon Quest name was not until 7 came out for the PS1. Right, so I'm getting sidetracked. I like this game, and this is like the primary example of old RPGs being aged poorly. People don't like the grinding in this game and the spectacular punishment of dying, being sent all the way back to the castle and having your gold halved when you have to grind for hours to get gold and whatnot. But you gotta understand, man, when this game was made, the developers, the concept was that the grinding was the fun. That was the part that you bought this game for, was for the fighting of the monsters. So, it's not so much that the interface has aged poorly. It's that the concept of what makes a fun RPG has changed. And you know what? I like this game, so screw you. I hear a lot of people knock good old Dragon Warrior, and I like it. I love it that this game doesn't cost a whole lot of money either, because they were giving it out with, what was it? If you had Nintendo Power, then one of the Nintendo Powers came with Dragon Warrior or something like that. That's good. So that's still an obtainable game, which is said about very few RPGs. All right, my last game in the in the on the desk segment is the NES port of Metal Gear, and I shouldn't have called this the that game has a case edition. This should be the screw you, I like that game edition. Oh man, does the internet love to talk crap about the NES port of Metal Gear? And you know what? I love this game. And it's not even so much that people say it's a bad game. It's that now that the internet gives us access to all these, you know, the ports that we didn't get in the U.S. and not just the internet. Jerry's the big Metal Gear encyclopedia. He's told me that the original version is included in as a bonus feature in one of the games, but that's not either here nor there, because we're discussing the early 90s and the late 80s when these cartridges were what we had. I like this game. It was really difficult, and I think the only really weird part that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me was like the part at the very beginning when you're outside, which I'm told isn't included in the original game. But man, good stuff. And I remember playing through it with that one of those How to Win at Nintendo Games books, which gave me a bunch of tips. And I got about halfway through it, and the book was just like, okay, from here on, you're on your own. Good luck. What a crappy book. Hey, when that kind of thing happens. So that's the on-the-desk segment. SNES Doom, NES Metal Gear, and NES Dragon Warrior. Three good games, three games I like, and three games I happen to have on the desk. So, what have I actually been up to lately? Because I haven't really played any of these three games in a while, apart from I've been playing Skull Tag, but that's not the game that's on the desk. So what have I actually been playing? I talked briefly about the Thursday night game. This past Thursday, I made an event in the brand new Glitched Out Steam group, which I encourage you all to join, about Thursday night Team Fortress Classic. That was one of the most successful Tiger Claw TV events was Team Fortress Classic night. Trying to recreate that, because we got a lot of new guys, a lot of new players who are on the scene. But we ended up, turnout was pretty good, but we ended up playing Terraria instead. It was me, Tony, Sendu, Vogue Nasty, and Gooch. And we all played Terraria. good time. It's a really good time. So if you're thinking about buying Terraria, there you go. You can get with the five of us, and we can play some multiplayer. Good stuff. I like that. That game's got really good PvP support. I want to do some like hardcore PvPing, like build a fortress here, build a fortress there, and let's kind of kill each other. Because every time I play that game multiplayer, everybody's like looking for better armor and mining and doing all that stuff, and that's cool. That's the fun of the game. But want to kill some suckers. All right, so I got to distance myself from Terraria. I've been talking about that in Minecraft too much this episode. Let's see. So I did that. Planning to buy a new Minecraft server. It's about $670 a month. So that's that. I've been playing a lot of Sid Meier's Pirates lately. Gooch was nice enough to slide me a copy. Very nice. And I'm just I've been taken with this game. Been taken with it. It's a great game. Not altogether very difficult, but I like how true. Well, no, that's not fair to say because I play on it on an easier difficulty. But I like how much that they've stuck with the older versions. Because after playing this, I went back and played Pirates Gold, which is a really dirt old DOS game. And man, they're so close. So close. I mean, they're the same game. You can tell it is a direct port. Because look at what they've done with the graphics on the Steam version. And it's like, it looks like they built another game and just slapped the name Pirates on it. But that's not what happened here. So I've been playing a lot of that. And there's two things left to talk about, pretty much, in this podcast. Two things left. First and foremost is Kolteca, and second is the fate of the Tiger Claw Radio podcast. First, before we get into Kolteca, I want to talk about that. I've been going all in with this glitched out site. That's where I've been putting all my efforts, making videos that can go up on glitched out, getting the word out about the website. And the very last thing I can think to do, in order to help the site, not just to help the site, but to kind of make the site the focal point of all my efforts let me put it this way. I'm no longer just trying to make myself popular. I'm no longer just trying to bring in listeners to this podcast or my videos or whatever. I want people to go to that site. So I'm thinking about, and I've talked about this on the forums privately, changing Tiger Claw Radio to the Glitched Out Podcast. And I've wanted to bring on a co-host for quite some time, and I'm kicking around with some of those guys, possibly trying to find one. Nothing conclusive as of yet, but I want your guys' opinion on what you think about that. I don't really see it changing too much of the day-to-day stuff. Would I reset the episodes? I mean, would it just be Glitched Out Podcast episode 79, or would I restart the count? Not sure. But I want to hear what you think. And as it is, when I'm out promoting the podcast, it's the Glitched Out link that I promote. I tell people to come and check out the Glitched Out entry. And one of the reasons why I do that is because the fail bag has dried up, and the Glitched Out entry makes it very easy for people to put comments on the podcast. So that's one of the places I can go for comments, and so on and so forth. So leave a comment on the Glitched Out entry and make sure you let me know what you think, because I would like to, if you're listening, I'm planning on continuing posting them on the website. So if you have, if you're subscribed on iTunes, you're not going to have to change your feed. They'll just keep coming in. So you should be fine there. So that's what's going on there. And the very last thing I want to talk about, the very last item before we read our comments and call it a week, is Kolteca. Now, if you don't know what that is, Kolteca is an RPG Maker 2K project that I was working on. I started work on it in September 2009, and it took me about an entire semester to get a demo together. I put just about 30 hours into a one-hour demo, and the one-hour demo went up about a year ago, and it had a feature on RetroWare TV with a video, and the download was on FileFront, and it got like 125 downloads or something like that. I can't remember exactly how many it was. And then I moved it over to RPGMaker.net, and it got like 140 downloads there or something like that. So it did okay. It did all right. But that was a year ago, and I haven't touched the game since. And a lot of the friends of the show were coaxing me to get back into it, and I didn't for the longest time. And out of the blue, I was just like, you know what? I want to check that out again. And sure enough, now I'm working back on Colteca again. So hopefully, I will get this game completed, and I'll have a more updated release at least to give you guys. Now, if you've never played the game, which I'm sure some of you out there haven't, I suggest that you check out the demo. When I started working with it, I found a pretty long list of bugs that I have to go back and fix in the demo as it stands right now. So it's not a flawless game, but I'm connected with the story. It's a very old story, and I don't want to talk too much about the origins of the story because I talked about that in a video, and it's kind of something that I go. It's kind of like routine that I go over that every time the game comes up. But my major concern is rallying attention around a full release, because we're talking a lot of work and polish to get this game together, and I need to know there's going to be some players, or I want to know there's going to be some players, because I know there's a couple of you out there who are interested, but that's Colteca, and that's what I'm working on. I can't talk altogether too much about it because I don't want to spoil a whole lot about the story. It's not like that. We're not talking about a big epic, mystery where there's going to be a twist at the end, and I'm going to spoil it. But at the same time, I don't know. You got to play the game, so check it out. You'll be supporting me by downloading it and sniffing around. My plan is, I'm going to get this game done. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get it out there. And my next game, when I start another RPG or whatever it is, I'm going to throw down some money and get RPG Maker XP or VX or one of those pay systems where I obtain licensing to the game, and I can I can either sell it, though I'll probably give it away for free, or do whatever. It's a much more legit way to go about game making. So that's my goal. That's my long term goal. With RPG Maker, anyway. And I know that when I hosted the FAQ, one of the questions, actually two people asked, any news on Colteca? That's the news. Only minor updates as of now to the game. So it's an uphill battle, but it's one I've enjoyed. All right, guys. So that's all I have in terms of material. Let's go ahead and do the failbag. What time is it?
It's time for the failbag.
Yes, friends, it's that fantabulous form of entertainment we call the failbag. The failbag is when you write letters into me. You can write it at tigerclawradio@yahoo.com, or you can head over to Glitched Out and check out the Tiger Claw Radio listing and leave a comment, and I will read it here on the air. Also, head over to the Glitched Out forums. You can leave something there. Anywhere you leave it, you can leave a message directed to me. If I get it, it's fodder to be read on the air. And this is what we got. Now, all these comments are coming straight from the comments from last... or 2 weeks ago's show, Derek, the Derek Show, No One Cares About Calvin. Let's see, the first comment, Rivers posts, here's the Family Guy Let's Play that Derek was talking about, and he leaves a YouTube link. Derek was talking about Let's Plays and his example of a really bad one, and there it is, so you can check it out. Seb responds, he says, I've seen that one, it's kind of clever, didn't really add much for me. I like my long plays being a little bit more informative. I want to learn the insides of a game from an LP-er. Of course, the joke now and then, a joke now and then, only adds to the fun. I do agree with CF that it's very hard to improve LP videos, as it does require you to change you as being the most dynamic factor in its quality. Luckily, there are a lot of different people out there with different tastes. Otherwise, no one would watch me. Lol. Yeah, man, that's how it is. Try leaving comments to an LP'er and see how well they take it. Yeah, you should change this and this and this. And those are never taken well. But okay, so then we got Darabka writes, all I can say is take it easy and solve the school lunch problem with spam. Enough said. Ah, I see what you did there. Let's see. 8-Bit Eric says, ah, man, this was great. I enjoyed listening to it. I'm a big HVGN fan. Well, thanks, man. I was really happy to have him on the show, and I'm glad you liked it. Alecool writes, I have a question. Can I ask questions for the podcast from here? Yes, you can. Never got back to me with a question. But, yeah, man, leave comments there. It's way easier for me because I'm on Glitched Out all the time, so... It's very, very easy for me to read comments and questions that are posted there. And Michael writes, awesome podcast. Must have listened to it twice. Big HVGN fan. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. By the way, Michael is also known as the David Hasselhoff guy, and he posts his videos on the Promote Yourself part of the forums. He's there. He's got a review for Dr. Mario, and what else has he got up there? He's got Dr. Mario, and then he's got a thread with, like, three videos. Final Fantasy VII, DuckTales, and I'm not sure what the middle one is. But he's got some good videos up, so check him out, too. And that's it. That's the show. Now, I have an interview, a very brief, like, panel session with Sendu and Adam the Hedgehog that actually came out really well. It was good radio. But I haven't had time to update it yet, so it's going to have to get bumped. I haven't had time to edit it yet, so it's going to have to get bumped until next week. So my thanks to all of you guys for listening. I'm glad that you have chosen to join me today. It's Ubisoft Week in Gamerscape, so check out Gamerscape when you got some time. Tiger Claw Radio is brought to you by Gamerscape.com, anytime, anywhere. Also brought to you by Scenic7 PR. They are the PR guys for all your PR needs. If you need some P and R, they have both of those letters at scenic7pr.com. And also brought to you by wastedseconds.com. Thanks for the hosting, Dalmar. Much appreciated. This is Critical Failure for Tiger Claw Radio. Signing off.
Hey, this is Derek Alexander, the happy video game nerd, and also in the band Starship Mason. And you are watching Glitched Out. Good for you. You're awesome. Keep doing it. Don't stop doing it. You were thinking of stopping doing it, but you should keep watching it. And listening to it. There's lots of stuff. I'm Derek.
Great. Yeah. We got it.
That's awesome.
I don't know.
I wasn't going to stop you, dude.
I was waiting for you to go, okay, good. Can I do a shorter one now?